Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I slept horribly Friday night. It was awful. I was fidgeting and tossing and turning. I probably sneezed, actually. Bless you. I was too hot. I was distracted. You ever have those nights where your brain just won't shut up? And it just keeps mulling things over and over. I was doing that on Friday. I couldn't sleep at all. It was awful. And I kept thinking that day, I couldn't focus. Friday, in theory, is the day that I polish off my sermon if I haven't polished it off beforehand. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't focus. Every time I sat down to work on it, nothing was happening. I was elsewhere. And to be honest with you, it was because I was thinking about this meeting tonight. I was thinking about this meeting tonight, this one with, representatives from all these groups who use space here, who operate out of this place, who call this place home. I couldn't stop thinking about it. The whole point of the meeting tonight is to really approach these groups about the bigger picture, to help them to understand the ways in which we are connected to one another, to try and break past this kind of siloed existence that we lead, where different groups are here at different times, using different spaces, and never the twain shall meet. Helping everyone to understand how the joint presence, the combined presence of all of this stuff happening here, this crazy quilt of ministries. You know what a crazy quilt is? It's a type of quilt, and it's basically what it sounds like. It's not one that's organized, at least in the standard quilting pattern way. It's great. There's little scraps and pieces all over the place, but they fit together. They can be quite beautiful. And when I think about all the things happening here, I oftentimes think of that kind of crazy quilt approach. But I kept thinking about this meeting, and I was scared to death, to be honest with you. Because the truth of the matter is, one of the reasons that I need to talk to these groups tonight, one of the reasons that we have to talk to these groups tonight, is because of money. And I'm going to be upfront with you, I'm very uncomfortable with money. If any of you know anything about body language, you'll notice right now that as soon as I started to talk about that, I just realized it myself, I started grabbing my thumb. And I'm pretty sure that was a defensive technique I was using to make myself comfortable, but now that I've told you about it, it's neutered, so I can't use it anymore. I don't like to talk about money. Especially in the church, I'll be honest with you. The pastor, that gets all sorts of icky feelings for people. But if I'm also really honest, I'm going to claim any credibility as a pastoral leader, that I got to suck it up. Pardon me. I got to grow up a little bit and acknowledge that that is part of the role. And that is part of being in community together, being able to have hard conversations like that. Last year, we passed a budget. And don't worry, I'm going to get back to the Ten Commandments. Any of you who are worried, I'm not going there. It actually all fits together quite nicely. Last year, we passed a budget, as we are apt to do. And we passed one with a deficit. We did so on purpose, and we knew that going into it. And you might not be shocked to hear that when you pass a budget with a deficit, you have a better than average odd of running a deficit for the year. Thank you for those of you who laughed nervously at that. We're actually doing okay. Doing okay. We've managed to keep expenses relatively low. We're well under budget on that. But to be honest with you, giving is under as well. And so we're usually just a little bit behind every month. And so we've tapped into reserves. But let's be honest, and let's be mature adults for a moment and admit you can only do that for so long. At some point, those reserves aren't there anymore. So that's part of why we're having this conversation with these groups. times. Because while we are trending in the right way, there are things we need to do. There are things we need to do both in the short term and in the long term to make this place what it can be. You've heard me use this phrase a lot lately, to not just survive, but to thrive. Survival is not good enough for God's ministry. Thank you for the amen. Actually, you know what? Let's do that together. Survival is not good enough for God's ministry.
Amen.
Thank you. Thriving is. That's what we're here to do. Be fruitful and multiply doesn't just mean go and have babies. Which is good, to be honest, because some of us, that's a little bit past the... Sorry, we won't go into that right now. But so we're looking at these short and long-term options of what we can do. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about with these groups tonight is the idea of broadening the base, of looking at doing an annual campaign. Any of you who listen to NPR, you're very familiar with their approach on that. Or if you know anything about, say, the Woodland Park Zoo, the Seattle Aquarium, it's a very common thing for organizations to do, is to do a campaign once or twice a year, where they basically acknowledge the community, hey, this is what we have to offer, this is what we do, and if we're going to continue to do it, we need your help. We have 15 12-step groups here. We have 6 churches worshiping in at least 4, sometimes 5 different languages. We have social service organizations that provide low-cost counseling, that provide a day center for young adults with physical and developmental disabilities, that provide financial assistance and counseling to people who are in need and who struggle. This place is worth fighting for. Amen? This place is worth spreading the word about. And doing that means having conversations like the one tonight. It means having mature, adult, open, honest conversations with all of the, pardon the term, stakeholders. All the people who have a piece of the puzzle that is the Crazy Quilt Ministry of this place. Everything we do as Christians is about relationships. It's why we're here on a Sunday morning. Relationships with God and relationships with each other. We don't always put it in that terminology, but that's at the heart of what we do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is inherently about relationship. It's about being in community with other people and with God. And if we look back at the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, the Ten Sayings, whatever you want to call them, because they go by different names, we realize that they are also all about relationship and about community. God said in Exodus chapter 19 today, "Look how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." He didn't say, "Look at how I got you out of Egypt." It doesn't say, "Look at how I gave you the promised land, how I'm leading you there." Where does God say he's leading the people? To myself, to God. But that's the whole point to the Exodus. That it's not just about leaving Egypt. It's not just about leaving slavery and oppression. Though, let's be honest, that's pretty cool. I'd say leaving that is a definite bonus. But God says the reason that this is happening is to lead the people closer to God. "Look how I bore you on eagle's wings and led you to myself." The ten commandments, the ten sayings, the ten words, it isn't just a rule book, a checklist for life. Do these things and you're good to go, or don't do them in some cases. It's about moving towards a deeper understanding of our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. Look at them for a moment. You can't actually because you don't have them up there. I do right here, so I'll tell you about them. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make an idol." What is an idol? An idol is anything that distracts us from our relationship with God. An idol doesn't have to be a golden calf. An idol doesn't have to be another person or a singing show on Fox. That was an American Idol joke for those of you who never know your audience. An idol can be an idea. I've made this argument before. I know it makes some people uncomfortable. Honestly, for some people, it has been my experience that even scripture can become an idol for them. Because they can become so focused on the book, so focused on the printed page, that they lose sight of God's word within that page. That they lose sight of God's love for us. And what the whole thing is about. You should not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. It's not just about swearing. It's not just about using God's name in vain in the sense of how we often think about it. It's about misusing God's word. Wrongful use. You ever heard the expression throwing the Bible at someone or beating someone over the head with it? I guess it's not a good expression. It's just something I say sometimes. We can make wrongful use of God's name all the time. We see it. We see it all the time. We see it in churches all the time. I won't name names, but there has been a recent explosion in a relatively well-known large congregation in the Seattle area whose name rhymes with Mars Hill. Oops. And part of what has come out of that explosion is this idea of God's name being used to hurt people. And that's where some of the charges and accusations and horrible things that have come flying out are centered in. And I'm not just pointing fingers out. As you know, the old expression, if you point one finger out, you've got at least three pointing back at you. I know I can be just as prone to do that in my own way as anyone else. So we are charged to not use God's name in vain. To honor the Sabbath. What does it mean to honor the Sabbath? It's not just about sitting on your rear, which is ironic because y'all are sitting while I'm talking. Honoring the Sabbath isn't just about showing up at church and checking it off for the day. Though, don't get me wrong, I'm glad y'all are here. I talk to myself all the time, it gets boring. But honoring the Sabbath is recognizing the importance behind it. God says, I did this, established this because of the need for rest. But not just rest, then. Established it because of the need for one to take a moment to stop and ponder. Think about how busy your life is. It's hilarious to me sometimes when I talk to some of you, no offense, some of you who you say you're retired, you've been retired for years, in some cases decades, and then you tell me about your schedule. It scares me because I realize what I have to look forward to. So much for retirement being, you know, kicking back with a beer and a fishing line. We're all so busy. We have a busy culture. And it's okay to be busy and active. That's okay. But it's vital that we take a moment to stop and ponder, to stop and ponder deeper things, deeper meanings. The relationship we have with God, the relationship we have with each other, the relationship we have with ourselves. Honor your father and your mother. All the parents love that one. That one isn't just about honor your father and your mother because they made you. Look at the rest of the sentence. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. These words are being spoken to a culture that is on the move, a culture that has just come out of slavery, that is moving into a new land, that has no safety net, no social support network, no system in place other than your family cares for you when you're older, if you're lucky. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long is about relationship. It's about recognizing that we are dependent on one another. That as we move through life, you know the expression, no man is an island? No man is an island. No woman is an island. No person is an island. We are all connected. And our only hope of thriving is to recognize that. You shall not murder. Believe it or not, murder ends a relationship. I know that might be shocking, but it does. It's kind of hard to have any actual reconciliation with a person once they're gone. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. All of these things, it's relationship and relationship and relationship and community. That's what these things are about. It isn't just do these things because then you'll be a good person. It's do these things because this is what a solid, healthy community looks like, a community grounded in God. So I mentioned to you that I couldn't sleep Friday night. So I was scared about this meeting tonight. And I realized yesterday morning I had an epiphany. I realized I had no reason to be afraid. Now, for one, I could have just looked at Scripture where Jesus constantly says, do not be afraid, where the angels show up and say, fear not. Have you noticed that pattern? An angel shows up to speak to you. The first thing will not be, this is what God has decreed. The first thing will be, hey, calm down. Do not be afraid. Be at peace. What does God call us into? Community. Community with God and with each other. And what have we been so deliberately focused on these last several years? Community. Community with God and with each other. And our efforts to build community have given us options for our future that a more inwardly focused congregation would not have. We have hopes and opportunities that a lot of churches would not have, facing the sorts of budget conversations that we do. No, we don't have 300 members here on a Sunday morning to keep this place going. We have over 1,000 people here every week, though, who are engaging in ministry in their own way, in ways and to a degree that no single congregation could ever hope to achieve. Friday night, I couldn't sleep because all I could think about was how scared I was about talking to these people about money. And then yesterday morning, I woke up and I remembered God's promise for us. And I remembered the ways in which this place has been acting in accordance with God's promise. And I remembered the opportunities and the connections and the community that we have here. And last night, I slept like a baby. Let us pray. Most holy, good, and gracious God, you have called us into ministry in ways that we did not expect and that we did not always know how to deal with. We ask you to continue to bless us, to help us to see the ways in which you are calling us into something new, the ways in which you are using us as a beacon for welcome and grace in this community. We ask you to bless our partners in this place and help them to see the possibilities that exist when we work together. We give you thanks for the larger church of which we are a part, for its support, and for its desires for us to continue to grow and thrive. We thank you for the new faces that we have seen here in the last years and even today. And we ask you to bless each and every one of us with your grace and your peace, going forward knowing that we are beloved by you. In your Son's most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.